This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A bit later in the hour, we'll talk with Chris Mooney, author of The Republican War on Science. But up first, in the war over teaching evolution and intelligent design in the classroom, each side was victorious in battle this week. In Kansas, the State Board of Education voted to change the state's science standards so that they require students to learn about the alleged challenges to the theory of evolution. Not stopping there, the Kansas Board also voted to change the definition of the word science itself. In Kansas, science doesn't just probe the depths of nature looking for answers. It must also look to the supernatural for solutions. Critics say these changes will make it easier for intelligent design to be taught in science class. Back east, a week after the trial over teaching evolution ended, Dover, Pennsylvania residents voted out all eight members of the school board that passed a policy requiring that intelligent design be presented as an alternative to evolution in high school biology classes. So we're going to start the hour today with an update on teaching evolution, including an update on the Dover trial. And if you'd like to join our discussion, our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. Nick Motzke is the Public Information Project Director at the National Center for Science Education in Oakland, California. He joins us today from his office. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's really an interesting development there in Kansas.
Yes. It was an interesting development, but it was widely expected ever since the election in 2004, when the creationists got a 6-4 majority on the State Board of Education. So everyone knew it was just going to be a matter of time before they enforced their majority. They've finally overridden all the roadblocks that were put in their path because, you know, their own Science Standards Committee voted against this policy. The National Academy of Sciences and the National Science Teachers Association expressed their disagreement and actually refused permission to copy the parts of the standards that relied on the national model standards. So there were a number of roadblocks that they had to sort of bash through. They've finally gotten through all those and passed the standards. But even now, the standards won't be implemented until next year, and there's going to be another election next year. So I think everyone's looking forward to that, as they did in the last big evolution fight in Kansas back in 1999-2000.
So this has been going flip-flopping back and forth over every 2 years.
Yeah, that's right. In 2000, there was a big backlash because the creationists on the board then deleted evolution from the science standards. And there was a big backlash, and some pro-science candidates were elected to the State Board of Education, and things went back to normal. And then in each of the last two elections, one seat has been dropped from the pro-science side. And so the creationists got a 6-4 majority, and that produced this current kerfluffle. But a lot of people in Kansas are already talking about the next election, so that will be something to watch.
Now, standards are the state minimums that teachers must instruct their students, because students are going to be tested on this stuff, right, in a state test.
Yeah, that's accurate. And the No Child Left Behind Act, which was a big initiative of George W. Bush, has kind of ironically provoked a lot of this anti-evolution movement lately, because they require every state to come up with state science standards and statewide testing for assessment. And because scientists usually write these standards, evolution has increased in a lot of the science standards. And this has provoked some of the reaction. Actually, we saw that in Dover, but we've also seen it in Kansas. And so you get some of this resistance, and then these big fights happen.
And I also thought it very interesting that the board redefined the word science, did it not?
They used a definition that allows for the supernatural in science, and it's very clear that the whole goal of what the board's been doing, they've been trying to avoid basically getting an unconstitutional ruling, from a court. So they say we're not going to require intelligent design. But if you look at just the preface on page II, it's on the Kansas Department of Education website. They have a whole page there declaring that intelligent design is a legitimate scientific controversy. There's legitimate evidence against evolution. And then the standards say, quote, these standards neither mandate nor prohibit intelligent design. So they say they don't mandate it, but they don't prohibit it either. And then they redefine science to allow it in. So the whole thrust of the science standards is basically to open the door for any teacher who would want to teach it. And also, if you look at the details of the science standards, it includes a bunch of classic bogus creationist arguments against evolution.
Mm-hmm. Let's turn to Dover, Pennsylvania, which I thought was just a ground-shaking development, where all eight members of the school board.
That was quite something.
Wasn't that something?
And, you know, I have watched, I sat in court and watched all 6 weeks of the trial because I was, the National Center for Science Education was consulting for the plaintiff's legal team in that case, and we were giving advice on the science. But for a lot of the court session, I was just sitting there observing. And so I did not have an idea of how things were going out on the ground in Dover, in the actual community. And so when that election result came out, I was pretty amazed. And you know, I think it represents really the end result of intelligent design. I think that kind of result is what you see once people really, whether they want to or not, once they get really familiar with intelligent design, people realize what's really behind it. They realize it's really just creationism in disguise and that we've had this fight in the courts already. So I think that is probably the end result of the whole movement.
But the judge still has to rule on the suit that was brought by the parents in Dover, does he not?
That's correct. The judge still is going to issue a ruling, and the legal issue is kind of independent from the election, actually, because once there's been a court challenge, it becomes a legal matter, and so that court ruling will come down regardless of what happens in the election. So the judge said at the end of the case that he's planning to issue his ruling at the end of December or in early January. And it'll be very interesting to see what direction he takes it, because he could issue a ruling that's kind of narrow and simply rule on the facts of what happened in Dover, or he could issue a more broad ruling. And it's kind of up to him how he does it.
Right.
So, and it's very hard to predict how that would go. But it was, you know, watching the trial was fascinating because the judge was, throughout, he was very careful, very systematic, and kept a poker face, except for a few times when some of the school board members from Dover were caught basically with inconsistencies between their depositions and their testimony in the case. The judge got very annoyed and actually was lecturing witnesses on the stand. And that was something that I guess is very rare. So just watching that it was like watching a soap opera at some points.
1-800-989-8255. Let's go to the phones to Bruce in Gloucester, Mass. Hi, Bruce. Bruce, are you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Hi, go ahead.
I must say I have to be a brave man calling Talk of the Nation Science Friday and with Ira Flatow and believing that we were created.
Why do you have to do that?
Well,
why do you think you have to be a brave person to say that?
I've just heard you.
Do you think it's inconsistent?
Slam a lot of people.
No. Do you think it's inconsistent to believe in a creator and to believe in evolution at the same time?
I think intelligent design is not really taught intelligently for most of the time. You know, obviously the Earth is billions of years old. It was not created in 6 days. You know, even the Bible doesn't use the word day to mean 24 hours. It can be the life of a man. It can be 1,000 years. It can be millions of years. So an ultra literalist interpretation really doesn't even agree with what the Bible says. And the Bible actually was ahead of science for many years because in Isaiah it talks about the earth being round. It talks about the earth hanging upon nothing. You know, there's a lot of things that are scientifically factual that are written in the Bible that predated Eratosthenes, who was the first one to judge what size the earth was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really sad. Even Jesus condemned religious leaders of his day, called them hypocrites and offspring of vipers, and he was just really bad because of misrepresentation.
So what's the point you'd like to make?
Just the point that I love science. I really do. And I haven't seen science yet create life. It's supposed to be an accident, but it hasn't been created.
Does that mean that it can explain life? It cannot explain life?
Well, I don't think the theory has been explained fully in that it hasn't been proven, because the theory of evolution says, the ultimate theory of evolution says that life started by accident, And I haven't seen that proven yet.
Nick,
nobody has created life yet, have they?
Nick, you want to?
Well, I mean, it's true that we don't completely understand the origin of life. There's no controversy about that fact. We have an awful lot of hints, and there's been a lot of progress made, but everyone acknowledges it's an unsolved problem. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that we should just give up and invoke a miracle, which is pretty much what the creationists and intelligent design proponents say. You know, if you want to make that personal decision or religious decision to do that, that's fine, but you shouldn't really expect scientists to just give up on a problem that they've been making progress on, I don't think.
Bruce, do you think that the Kansas School Board was correct in redefining science to include the supernatural?
I prefer to stay out of politics.
That's not politics. That's what their kids are going to have to learn. That's not politics.
Yeah. As long as you present both sides in a reasonable, educated manner, I don't see where that's a real problem. The problem is the educated manner. And, you know, one thing about the not being able to prove things, dark matter. Most physicists agree that dark matter exists. Can you prove it? You know, there's theories, there's some tests. I don't see why it's so impossible that there's a being beyond what we can imagine that was able to create things. I don't see where that's a stretch of science, being able to believe that there's a power beyond what we can comprehend that caused everything to be. It makes more sense to me than an accident.
All right,
I haven't seen an accident made yet, other than, you know, the car gets wrecked.
I got to go, Bruce. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, Ira.
You're welcome.
I love your show.
Glad you enjoy it. Nick, I got 30 seconds to respond, and I've got to get going.
I think just the dark matter point that he brought up, it was very interesting, because dark matter was proposed to explain how galaxies can rotate rapidly when it looks like they don't have enough matter to keep it all together. Let's say somebody proposed that dark matter doesn't exist, but it was simply the miraculous action of God that was holding the galaxies together. Would that be science?
Right.
That's sort of the question they're going to be asking in Kansas, I think.
All right, Nick, thanks for joining us. Nick Matzke, National Center for Science Education. We'll take a short break, come back, and talk more about politics and science, so stay with us.